Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 241, episode 3 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Wednesday, June 15th, 2022, which of course means that we National Megalodon Day, which happens to be an obsesh within our household right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It almost sounded like I was saying something about J.A. Adonde.
Right. Megalodon Day.
That's National Megalodon Day.
That's his AKA when we have J.A. Adonde on. Megalodon Day.
It's Megalodon Day today. Oh, wait, what, how do they know about megalodons? They watch the Meg, or is that like the new shark that if you go to a museum, they're like, the megalodon actually fuck a great white?
Yeah, it's books. Like, that's, I don't know how, because I have not been able to persuade the people in my life, my wife and, you know, my parents when they were out here to let me show my six-year-old Jaws, even though I had seen it 100 times by the time I was his age. But he is still, like, through osmosis, just, like, taking over my obsession with sharks. And he, you know, why wouldn't you be obsessed with a megalodon when it is, like, a great white times three?
Yeah, turned up, yeah.
Yeah, it's just the ramped up, supersized great white. Anyways, my name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. y'all know me, still the same OB, never played no D. That is courtesy of Fighter of the Night, man. Followed up with some bars that I did not have time to kind of figure out how to get my mouth around. But appreciate the faith, appreciate the knowledge of my and one nickname, Obi-Wan Play No D, Fighter of the Night, man. And yeah, I felt okay coming with a very modest AKA, because I feel like Miles told me he wasn't going to do shit and that it was going to be like a real low-key AKA. So I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Hey, man, Rudy, please put that bottle down. Yeah, you, Rudy Giuliani. Toe up, drank, sex shop, drank, disbarred, drank, butt dial, drank. Borat, drank, hair dye, drank, rated, brain.
Now I done threw up around some people living their life all coddled. Trump daddy had the golden ass. Can we still vote? That's in Chicago. He just could not fucking deal with moving back to Mar-a-Lago. Some people just did not win the popular vote. That was his problem. I could hear a voice, boom, show tunes. He's gonna have a stroke soon. So I just stay fucked up, filling up my cup. I hear the crowds boo. Madder by the minute on the record. Now defeat. Took a sip, then another sip. Then somebody said to me, Rudy, why you babysitting Trump? You must have forgot about 9/11 and the mob you fought. Might look like a grinning ghoul full of liquor, but you fighting. Fool full of liquor and you frightening. Yeah, wave a few papers and the hair dye sweat gets mocked. But the media still all gonna watch. Yeah, I'm a grinning full of fool full of liquor, but I'm fighting. A fool full of liquor and I'm frightening. Oh my gosh. That Waffle House. Christy Yamaguchi, man, you came through with that Kendrick swimming pools, a.k.a. Yamaguchi. Damn, got me rehearsing that shit so I could get it right. I hope I did it justice.
You did. Well done.
Anyway.
Fucking buckets.
For a second when I was like, Chef when Curry. I put the headphones on, I was like, maybe I could do a whole Kendrick ripoff career.
Yeah, you sounded
just
good,
like my
man.
Swag is like this when I rap.
There you
anyway,
go.
Anyway,
well,
that's
done,
a good
sir.
Way to start the day.
That is a good way to start the day and start the show and bring in one of our favorite guests on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Yes.
It's a brilliant, talented, ingenious writer, podcaster who's written for publications like the New York Times, the New Yorker, the New York Review of Books, GQ.
Oh, my God.
You might have read her feature on Machine Gun Kelly, Megan Fox.
I am weed.
Broke the internet. She was the co-host of the legendary podcast Girls in Hoodies and Night Call. Ooh. And the creator of the legendary podcast that just dropped its final episode, so you can go listen to the whole thing in one sitting right now. Heidi World, the Heidi Fly story.
Coming to the stage.
Welcome back to the show. It's Molly Lambert!
The OG!
Bah, 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 bah. Wow, I can't follow any of those AKAs. They were so good. Here's what I've got.
Okay.
Okay.
Clap your hands if you think that the minions are really cool. Clap along if you think that the minions are sweet like Gru. Because I'm clapping. That's what I got.
Okay, I like that.
I mean, that it's a miracle those aren't the lyrics. They
I mean,
been.
I do think the minions are really cool. I also, hot take, don't think that song is as annoying as everybody else does.
Well, because you're happy and you do live in a home without a roof. So
it's because it's bossa nova.
It's fun. It's
I've
a fun
always
song.
Enjoyed it. It's a fun song. When people were like, this is the worst song ever. How dare you know, there's other songs.
Yeah, I think it was. I wonder if it's just because it's also a song that became so like ubiquitous, like it was everywhere that it just had added to people's like, I hate this song.
Much but, like the Minions. They are everywhere, but actually they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Are they good? I don't
Oh, the Minions are fucking great, man.
Minions are great.
Them, yeah.
They're so much better than a lot of other kids' CGI stuff. They're so good.
What language are they speaking? Like Italian?
I think a French person made them, but they are speaking like Minionese, which is like
Yeah. Cause sometimes I'm like, wait, I caught a couple words. In my mind, I'm like, is this a
They say banana.
The Minions are like apparently the person who created them is just a walking, talking, like that's who that person is.
Like, yeah, what are
you gonna do?
Hey, what
are me? People are like, holy shit. But yeah, it really works. It's like a great, I feel like one of the things that I'm confident, like that's been created in the past 15, 20 years that people still have in the pop culture lexicon, you know, decades into the future.
Yeah, that's when good. I'm driving back from the valley, back to my home on the east side, and I see that big minion, on the Universal.
Yep.
Makes me happy.
Is that like, is that our like Christ the Redeemer of the Valley?
I have a real strong QAnon feeling about it for some reason.
Whoa.
Which,
wait, will you, okay. So for people who don't know, in like the, at the edge of the valley sits Universal Studios. And at the top
with
of
the Jaws
hill
ride,
there,
the King Kong ride, those are the things that I feel like
the Jaws ride, the Jax kids. Too scary for Jack's kids.
Too scary for my kids. We haven't taken them there yet. I'm assuming when Harry Potter enters their world, we will be going to Harry Potter world.
Oh, right. So in that location, there's a gigantic minion on top of the hill, and it just sort of overlooks like this end of the valley.
Lords over the valley, and it has one eye, and it's I love it. I'm obsessed with it.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah, just the one eye overlooking the valley.
Yeah.
You know, peering into all of our souls.
It has an Illuminati energy. I think it's sort of like the Illuminati pyramid with the one eye on it. That's the minion.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. You know, we got to really look into that.
Well, we are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to continue checking in with the, what are we calling it, Coachella? So we're going to look at the strategy. What, like, it seems like the thing that is sticking the most is the fraud, the cheating people out of money, at least, like, I don't know, that just taking a just broad, not really paying attention to, not watching the actual thing, but just like watching the headlines and watching social media, feels like that's the thing that people are like, damn, $60,000 for Kimberly Guilfoyle to introduce her boyfriend for 2 minutes. And yeah, so we'll talk about that strategy. We'll talk about Trump's strategy, his response. We're going to talk about the new Squid Game reality show that Netflix is bringing. They have decided to completely miss the lesson from their show and just turn Squid Game into an actual reality show where people compete for the highest reality show prize ever, $4.56 million. So we're going to see a lot of desperation. It's going to be really entertaining. Wow. And we had a tech issue. Miles's AKA actually knocked out the power in his whole neighborhood. It was so good.
Sorry, everybody. Yeah.
You know, but not sorry. It's better for the world. It was a necessary thing that happened.
Look, I try and spit bars responsibly, but sometimes you get carried away and you end up affecting, you know, my neighbor's oxygen machine.
Sometimes the grid's not ready. Yeah, you do live next door to that TV producer from Big Lebowski and the Iron Lung.
Yeah. Gary, the man is here.
All right, Molly, before we were so rudely interrupted by the limitations of the Los Angeles power grid, I was going to ask you, what is something from your search history?
I was looking up red pandas, little cute guys that are fun to look at.
They are so cute that they look fake. Like, they look badly photoshopped.
Yeah, they look CGI, because how could anything exist and be so cute?
Like, if someone showed me a picture of this, I would be like, well, that looks like shit. Like, try harder with the CGI, because this is, like, the eyes look like stickers. Like, they don't even look like they should be possible.
No, they are proof of God's malice. Something so beautiful and cute could exist.
Yeah.
Truly.
Are they like, you know, if you zoom out, are they like vicious? Like, they have like the most poisonous mouth? Or they?
No, not at all. They're just little cutie boys.
Oh, it's always like something with like little cutie animal. They're like, yeah, but don't get the spit on you, or your leg will fall off. You're like, what?
Are they big, like in the movie Turning Red? Or how large are we talking here?
They're big enough to hug.
Okay. That's all I
mean, they're
about.
Little weird bears, you know? Yeah. They are bears, but
like eternal fox puppies or something. It's so So what, you trying to buy one?
Well, look, if I see one, I'm gonna get grizzly manned. I'm gonna find out firsthand if they will kill you, because
and
if Werner I see
Herzog
one
will narrate.
Yeah. Because if I see one, I'm kissing it.
This also represents the is a good example of the limitation of the imagination of the evangelical and creative design movement. Like, remember there was that video, I was actually talking about this on a Secretly Incredibly Fascinating recently that's coming up, that's a lot of fun, but there was that video where like an evangelical pastor, or maybe it was Kirk Cameron, was like holding a banana and was like, this is proof that God exists, because like, how could something so perfect, it's got a peel and you just open it? And it's like, well, dude, like, that's not like humans invented bananas with specialty breeding. And
wow, you really have the minions on your mind.
Yeah, I do.
The banana.
If I had minions on my mind, I would be calling them bananas. Bananas.
Shit. You've really been minion brain.
No, you're right. You're right. The banana we eat now is like all hybridized.
They should be showing pictures of red pandas and being like, is this not?
Well, check out. I just dropped a link in the chat. This is what I look at. It's red panda every hour on Twitter.
Okay.
Hour is HR. And I put it in my list feed of people whose tweets I actually read because I follow too many people. So I have like a secret list that I actually look at. And I drop it in there so that the tweets are broken up by an hourly picture of a red panda just being cute.
I mean, one of these looks like it's caught on like a little like backyard cam, like in the wild. Could you imagine just like instead of a possum, which is the thing that I always just see waddling through my backyard, you saw one of these little fuckers? I mean, come on.
Come on.
I would literally, like every picture I look at it, I get mad. I'm like, God.
Oh, it's activating like the caveman aggro reflex.
Yeah, I love when things are so cute, they make you angry. Have to protect.
It's like, I have to crush it.
Yeah.
No, it's like, I have to protect it. From anyone who will crush it, like Miles.
Yeah, Miles. Damn. Miles like just revealed something.
No, there was this whole study about that reflex that we have about it and like why some people literally do the thing. It's like, oh, I just, you know, like the thing I want to squeeze it.
Of
I
mice and men it. Yeah.
Just yeah, like exactly.
Lenny that shit. Mm-hmm.
They want to Lenny it.
You made me realize, I was like, wow, is every podcast just of mice and men?
But yeah, like that's when I was just reading, I'm like, oh, there's like, there is this like, this weird thing that it sets off, like you're saying, to protect it or just seeing it just, we fucking melt down.
So I also think it's a good illustration of the difference between men and women in some cases. And, you know, the instinct to nurture, which I actually happen to have too, Molly, or the instinct to destroy, like Miles revealed that he just has.
Well, I think they're twin instincts, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nurture and destroy.
Yeah.
That's what the red panda represents, because it's like a bear with teeth and claws, but it's so fucking cute.
Truly a lesson.
What is something you think is overrated?
Overrated. Always, again, forgetting to think of anything before doing this podcast. What's overrated?
Red pandas. Go with red pandas.
No, absolutely not. Not overrated. God, I'm just like so too excited about everything right now. I'm just like anything is good.
Everything's perfect.
I have such a high tolerance for bullshit right now because I'm like, oh, we can go back outside. You know, some things I'd normally be like, the city walk garage. I'm like, no, it's paradise. I want to pay $30 to park in a parking lot.
Thank you, Rick.
I don't want to repeat myself. I feel like I always say the same things. I feel like I want to say breakfast tacos, but maybe I've said that before. So I don't want to just...
No, give it to them. They
repeating.
They need it.
All right, I'm going to say overrated Saturday, underrated Thursday.
What? Okay. This is a young person's take.
Oh, yeah. It's a young person's take. Yeah.
Age difference of a couple of years. Wait, so what's the...
That's it.
Wait, okay. Now, like, explain to me. I mean, I understood Saturday Thursday being tight if I was in college, but go on.
Well, not just college. First of all, we're all in college again now that we can go out again after COVID. Time is meaningless. We're all podcasters here. We don't have a traditional work schedule. I just think Saturday, there's too much pressure to have fun, to like make that the focal point of your week and be like, that's the night I'm going to have fun.
Right.
And Thursday is like, if you have fun, it's like a bonus.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So like when you're saying like, do you realize how much fun you're having Thursday in the moment, or like when you get home and you're like, damn, I did that on a Thursday. Yes.
Yeah. I think it's just like, it's like a fun, you know, if you go out on Thursday and you have fun, you're like, I didn't expect to have such a good Thursday. Mm-hmm. But if you have if nothing's going on Saturday, you're like, man, this is so depressing. It's Saturday. If nothing's going on Thursday, it's like, well, it's Thursday.
Right. Sure. Yeah, I get that. I was like, I felt the same. I went to see Jurassic Park last Thursday, and I was like, going out to a movie on Thursday, I was like, this is the fun I'm living, baby.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You're in the moment.
But I didn't realize till I got home, or like afterwards, I was like, that was sick. That was dope, what I just did right there, going out to a movie on a Thursday.
Right? Just like, who can stop you?
No.
It's just, I don't know. It's cool. Everything sucks, but honestly, it's cool we don't live in the 50s and have to like put on a suit and tie and go to a job every day, right? Like,
I was going to take your overrated, underrated and extend it. I think weekends are overrated. We didn't used to have them in the 1800s.
Thank you.
Let's just work all the time, you know?
Oh, okay. Okay. Anti-union Jack over here.
that's my nickname. You guys,
yeah, he's like, he bought a vintage Pinkerton uniform. he's going to be wearing later to the Grove.
Oh, man.
No, I mean, I do think there's a lot of bad things about the work all the time, no boundaries, every day's a work day because of email, you know, thing. But I also think the flip side is that every day is also a weekend. Every day is a day off if you want it to be.
Yeah.
Damn.
If you...
Mindset. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the opposite of the grind set.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. You bend the spoon with your mind by making every day the weekend.
It's the fine set.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. Maybe it is a collegiate mindset, but you know what? That's how I'm feeling right now.
That's great.
We're all in college again. We're like super seniors.
I want to get to where you are. So
I feel like we're super seniors. Of LA.
Right.
You know?
The super seniors of LA.
Like, I go places and I'm like, oh, yeah.
That's what we'll name our secret club. The super seniors
super
of LA.
Super seniors of LA.
Sounds like a bunch of people who meet to walk at the mall.
Yeah, like exactly. It sounds like a retirement community. You know what? Again, the line between the retiree lifestyle and the collegiate go out every night lifestyle, pretty thin.
Yeah, fine. Finally.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, how to bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TDZ. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And yeah, so, you know, we're day. I actually don't know, like, how many days in are we to the, like, primetime event television
version? I think there's like five or six hearings total.
There's five total at this point, or that's where we're headed?
I think that's where we're headed. I didn't really actually keep up with the actual schedule for Coachella, because I know that they do the circus, and then right before midterms, they will then, you know, be like, and here's our assessment type thing.
Right.
So they're waiting to drop the hammer right before the midterms.
Yeah.
So I don't know. As it is, I think we have another one or two this week.
And Molly, are you glued to the hearings? Or are you just like, you know, waiting for them to drop the hammer and carry Trump off?
I am completely checked out. No, because none of that's going to happen.
What?
Right. I mean, I just going from the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial right into the January 6th stuff, really just we live in hell.
Dudes are batting 1,000 right now in legal
cases. I truly don't understand why they're even doing this, because there's no, it's just a show trial. It's like nothing's going to happen to anyone. I feel insane when I see like liberals posting about like Trump's going to get carried off in handcuffs, right. You know, like Nixon. It's like, he's definitely not. And they're not even going to like give him a tap on the wrist. It's going to be like Dianne Feinstein being like,
thank you.
Well, yeah, thank you. We're all going to put on our kente cloth and thank Stand Trump for
that hero officer who so valiantly defended the Senate chambers.
Like truly, what's the point? Like where, like they're all just on the same team, right? And the team is like civility or whatever. And
yeah,
it is.
There's
crazy.
Clearly a group of people like in on the Hill, though, that like realize you're like, well, we can't have people this rude. Right. And like they're united yeah. in like ousting Trump for being so rude. But
it's
even
also
then,
right.
Again,
that's what's
they don't
that's
have
what's
the
crazy.
Willpower.
There's so many. I feel like I just see people posting about Trump so much, too, still. And I'm like, he's not the president anymore. He's not the reason everything sucks. Like,
yeah,
Biden isn't doing anything either. It just like it makes me feel insane because they're just like,
yeah, well,
doing like, all the same. Like it's Mueller time where I'm just like, what are you talking about? Like,
oh, my God, I would fuck the shit out of Robert Mueller.
I know.
It's so hot.
You say that every day and we have to cut it out of the show.
I know. Sorry.
Apropos of nothing.
Just
but
all that,
I think
all that stuff.
Though what they're doing is what they do all the time is that they don't know how to just do something that's good. So they need public sentiment on their side to do it. You know what I mean? Like they just won't be like, oh, that's illegal, man. Fuck that. Like, here it is. Here's your marching orders, DOJ. Go do something. Go prosecute. But the feeling is so much like everything's like, did you see that, guys? Right? So then he took like $250 million. That's bad, right? And everyone's like, we fucking know.
Somebody said it was like a West Wing bonus episode. They were like, oh, so they're not going to do anything to any of these people. There's no consequences. Like, to me, it's crazy because it just says you can storm the Capitol and like nothing will happen.
Yeah.
Actually. And again, it just makes me be like, seems like maybe just the wrong side is storming the Capitol. It's not that.
Right.
People shouldn't be storming the Capitol to get stuff, as, let's say, guns outlawed.
Right.
Well, everybody, this would just be a story about, like, the thousands of people who were murdered on the steps of the Capitol if it was the other side storming.
Right, that was the thing, too. It's just, like, we all saw, like, nothing.
Yeah. They were doing selfies. We saw the selfies. That's one clip that I feel like we're not getting a lot of. Or at least I haven't been watching, but like that doesn't seem like the angle that the Democrats are going for is like showing the Capitol Police flicking it up with the people who are storming the Capitol. I mean, it does seem like, okay, a show trial, and it seems like it's openly a show trial, right?
Like it is a show trial, but it's like even a show trial is usually meant to crush dissent, you know, in some way, right? Like the Heidi Fleiss trial from Heidi World, the Heidi Fleiss story in The Secret History of L.A., was about scaring sex workers into not doing, you know, into compliance. This doesn't even seem like it would scare anyone into anything, because you're saying literally nobody, like Heidi Fleiss went to jail. This is like, nobody's going to go to jail. There's literally no consequences.
It seems like, though, for crazy. The people so far, it's like the seditious conspiracy stuff for Proud Boys is probably like the biggest thing. You're like, okay, well, they're pursuing something there. And Peter Navarro being the only person from that administration actually getting arrested. I was like, oh, because Mark Meadows did the same thing. And they've said, nah, no, we're not going to charge him.
So I it's just like, feel like, yeah, I mean,
there's these like, yeah, piecemeal or like sort of ceremonial or like gestures towards actual things happening. But I guess that's why the reason I'm like even looking at it is because, to your point, I hate the idea that we're just going to send the message to people. It's like, look, man, as long as you're doing it for the right reasons, like it's cool. Like, we'll kind of let that shit cook. But and I think that's what really frightens me, knowing like, is it fully just going to play out like most other things where America has to deal with like a problem of like white supremacy or fascism, and then it's just like bloop, drop the ball.
Right, they're just soft on white supremacists. They're like, whoops, they didn't mean it. You know, again, we were saying like, yeah, if the Black Panthers were storming the Capitol, it would be a different story. Like,
yeah,
and I don't know. Just I feel like when you hear about things from the past, like the Watergate stuff, and then you see just like, oh, that's not going to happen. That's like, we could do that, but we're just not going to hold anyone accountable. Actually,
yeah,
it makes you feel crazy. It's like when you, I don't know, a thing that has always made me feel crazy was like, oh yeah, protests stopped the Vietnam War. But then when we were all protesting the Iraq War, it didn't really do anything. They were just kind of made it illegal to protest. So yeah, just it makes you feel crazy and have no faith in it. Yeah, I mean, I think if you hadn't, at this point, realize that the people in charge have abandoned you and are going to fuck us all, then maybe this is the moment. But again, that must make me feel crazy, as people being like, we're getting justice.
Right.
Yeah.
Gavel like, time.
Yeah, gavel time. To show me the actual receipts first before you start celebrating, because that's the thing I'm like, this is it's like every other moment we've had. We're like, well, we'll see. Well, we'll see. I'm not going to get too excited, but because again, like the optics of it all, or like the energy from this committee does seem more like it was bad. And it's like, yeah, we fucking know, fool. Like, what the fuck is this? Like, please,
well, yeah,
address it or don't.
But I mean, the difference between Watergate and this is not like the severity of what happened and like the obviousness, like the fact like they tried to overthrow the results of an election and like get rid of American democracy. And that's all out in the open. The difference is that like most of the country doesn't give a shit and an entire party doesn't give a shit. And when you look back at Watergate and like how that actually went down, like the country was like, oh, that's bad. We should like he shouldn't be the president anymore. And like we're just that's not changing here. Like we're not going to suddenly convince half of the country and the entire Republican Party to suddenly give a shit about this. So it does feel like the way it's being covered at least is now that like, well, that this is a political act and here are the things that are going to stick with Trump, like with Trump's followers, and like will actually hurt his reputation. which the main thing that seems to really be like pissing people off is that Kimberly Guilfoyle, Donald Trump Jr.'s wife, was paid $60,000 for a 2-minute speech introducing her boyfriend, like at the actual insurrection. And like, it really seems like that's the one thing that, because the victim is the people who donated to Trump's campaign, it feels like that's a thing that logically makes sense to go after. And it's probably the thing he's least careful about because he commits like financial fraud, like the way other people breathe. But
the
he also
is they all do this stuff. They all take money for speeches
that
they shouldn't take if they had any intention of being a real, like a good politician. So
yeah, and it's also playing into the thing like
that's like somebody saying like, why are they doing the trials? It's so that the Democrats can use this to grift and go, you know, get paid to make speeches about how they took Trump, you know, to task. And it's like, they're all just scammers. They're all scammers on both sides of the aisle, and they're all gonna fuck everybody.
Right.
I think the like long view for the Democrats with this is that they want to try and pick off at least as many Republicans as possible who might be open to hearing about what happened. So just to kind of etch away at like whatever support there is, and then probably come with some like weak ass like mail fraud charges at the end of this, and then be like, we'll see. Cause then we keep, cause they, like you're saying, they're underlining the way like his supporters are being wronged too. That was like a big dimension of Coachella night too. Was like, look at all your money. Look what they did.
Why are we calling it Coachella?
Because it's just it's been a festival. There's multiple nights. We have headliners. We have.
Right, but what's the coup? Oh, coup. Oh, COUP.
Yeah, sorry.
Coachella. We should just pronounce the P in this
Coachella.
Case.
Coachella.
I was straight up like, I was like, Coochie-cella?
Cooch.
Like, you mean like Freaknik? Like Freaknik?
Not like Freaknik, RIP. But it's Coachella, COUP.
Coachella.
But yeah, that's what it feels like, especially with like a lot of the big stuff, like where you see like the big lib like Twitter accounts who are like, gotcha, that's mail fraud, Donnie, like was like,
right.
The big
I just
moment,
like, I'm like, I don't understand those people who really do they really think we're going to see Trump getting on the helicopter in handcuffs like Nixon, or are they just, I don't know, they're just brainwormed? Because all the same people who were like, we're getting a new deal with Biden. And then it's like, okay, well, none of those things have happened. So.
Yeah, there's a level of like a combination of comfort, privilege, and ignorance that you have to like have present for you to look at a situation like this and really think it's going to happen, right? You're ignorant enough to not know that this country has a terrible track record dealing with white supremacy and right-wing extremism and fascism. Then you also have to be privileged enough and comfortable enough to not have any of the policies of the government really affect you, because you can either spend your way out of it, or there's just not pressures that are real to you like most other people. So, and then you're in denial that the country is actually what it is. So it's easier to keep retreating to these things of like, yes, they got him, because I don't want to say what most other people are who are kind of looking at it, you know, and just gasping with despair and being like, it's so fucking backwards and dark. And this, like you're saying, it feels like the upside down, where you have people who are advocating for like, you know, human rights, and they get the shit kicked out of them. And people are over here like, meanwhile, beating cops up with whatever they want. And then they're like, thank you. Go on in.
Right. Yeah. So Trump predictably, Trump is not, this isn't kind of great for him. He's kind of flying off the handle. I mean, he does kind of thrive on conflict. So maybe it's not the worst thing for him, but he put out a 12-page screed on how corrupt this whole process is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, like some people are saying it feels like desperate and like defensive, but like he, from day one, has always seemed desperate and defensive. Like, I don't know. I think swung back and forth between desperate and defensive. And like,
there's levels to his shit, you know, like it'll be like when he was in office, he would just be like, it's fake news and keep it moving and not have to explain too much. This motherfucker put out 12 pages with footnotes. Okay, in the fucking thing, because he's like trying to have like a legal rebuttal to what is happening. And he's just, and really at the end of the day, it shows like how like upset he is at like the people to see his like former aides and people in his administration just openly talking shit, like Bill Barr, like laughing. Even though, let's not forget, Bill Barr is just saving his own ass this whole time. And this trial has allowed him to be like, yeah, and I thought it was all bullshit. Don't listen to the parts where I said mail-in ballots may be potential avenues for fraud.
Trump just wants everyone to read his Substack.
Right. No, 100%. Kind of,
yeah. I mean, like, if you think about like the way his ego is just like a all-consuming, all-devouring black hole. And like, he has launched a bunch of L's like since he left office. Like, he can't like get his Substack, like can't get people interested in like From the Desk of the President or whatever the fuck like that thing was. Can't get a social media platform off the ground.
Nope.
No truths. No. Yeah. It's a like that. That's got to hurt his feelings. So maybe we should just, you know, continue the streak and ignore the fuck out of this.
Yeah, if we hurt his feelings enough, he'll just disappear.
That's what I'm saying.
He'll realize he's a bad guy.
He'll figure it out, and he'll be so embarrassed. He'll never want to show his face again.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Why'd I do that?
He goes on in this thing. He goes, former AG Bill Barr, a rhino, if there ever was one, didn't have the courage or stamina to go after voter fraud, was afraid he was going to be impeached. No guts, no glory. Okay.
Yeah.
Rhino, you say. And then he goes on to say, like, again, amongst the 12 pages that people even bothered to make excerpts of, the January 6th Unselect Committee is disgracing everything we hold sacred about our Constitution. Like, you give a fuck about it. If they had any real evidence, they'd hold real hearings with equal representation. They don't. So they use the illegally constituted committee to put on a smoke and mirror show for the American people in a pitiful last-ditch effort to deceive the American public again. I mean, part of that's kind of true, but...
Right. Smoke and mirrors show. Yeah.
Put on a smoke.
The old show.
I thought he was going to say put on an absolute smoke show.
Yeah, put on a live
like a live stand podcast. Benny Thompson. Yeah. But I mean, this is really, I don't know. You watch, I think on the periphery, right? What like, as this goes on and you see how much Fox doesn't want to talk about it, how much like Newsmax is just saying like even wackier stuff. Cause like, they're going to get sued if they talk about Dominion voting systems. That it's just like they're having trouble dealing with this in a way that could even follow the logic for Fox News. Because like on Laura Ingraham, they're just being like, oh, man, it's like barely any showmanship in this thing. Like they were critiquing it like it was a child musical, like at an elementary school. And all like in the meantime, people like Britt Hume on Fox, he was saying like, you know, he's saying the thing that a lot of people say, which is like, you know, a lot of Republicans secretly hope that this kind of hurts Trump and then he's not able to run because a lot of people don't feel Republicans can win with him at the top of the ticket. There's something to that for sure. Like there's a lot of, I mean, there are plenty of savvy Republicans who like are actually understanding like, yeah, if we're going to get to power, like we can't just have this guy there immediately. Like that hurts the chance of like my fucked up America that I'm dreaming up. And it's not the one Trump has. And I can definitely see how there's conflicting views there. But like you add to that too, Nikki Haley, who's also, you know, a person who they've said is like rumored to run for president in 2024. She's doing the thing now where she's picking like pick. She has her own House candidate picks that are in direct opposition to Trump's like revenge picks in South Carolina. So, you know, there's like, it's I'm always curious to see what the calculus is of like the DeSantis's and Nikki Haley's of the world who clearly feel like they can have their shot. But I'm like, I don't know. All of them actually seem pretty still shook at the idea that he's still so popular. So I'm like, I always take those kinds of quotes like, well, I don't know.
Do we think there's any chance, because if they go with Trump, like, is this the moment for a leftist candidate to come in? I know, like, there was conversations about how, like, a lot of people in the Democratic Party don't want Biden to run. And then, like, his press secretary came out and was like, to be clear, Joe Biden is running in 2024. But I don't know, like, it does feel like, Chile just elected a leftist, and he was...
Bro, they're not going to let us elect a leftist.
Right.
Remember when they rat-fucked Bernie? That was our last chance. That was the boat. That was watching the Titanic sail, you know, start to sink. Like, we're fucked. We're fucked. America's over. America is over. I think that was the sign that, you know, obviously vote locally. Obviously, I'm stoked about some things here that have happened in LA. But I think that was the sign to, like, organize amongst yourselves and have
a mutual
aid network of people that will help you, because the Democrats are never going to help us, and they're never going to let us get a real leftist progressive candidate. So, you know,
the Democrats will fight that harder than they fight.
Oh, for sure. Saw that they did. Yeah.
But if it ends up being like Biden, Trump, and then a leftist candidate, like
person will mysteriously die. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, they are so afraid of anything good ever happening in this country. And also, you know, that's why they crushed the 60s, is because can't have
Chile had
resources.
Like Pinochet for decades, and then, you know, eventually.
But we have different, we don't have a culture of rising up.
But the whole point is that they're saying you can't do a revolution unless you're a bunch of white supremacists, and then it's fine and you'll just get a slap on the wrist.
Right.
If we tried to levitate the Pentagon, which we should.
Right.
It's not going well for us.
I think, like you're saying, right, there have been constant reminders where the leaders are missing the ship, like the opportunity. We're like
all the pipeline stuff,
change?
You know,
how about all of the shit that we were identifying as existential threats, and they completely just, they fuck it up because, again, there's just a mixture of like 1% of people who understand what the stakes are, and then like 99% of like career, like demon people who just want to take as much corporate donations as possible. So because of that, the makeup of the Congress is not a group of people who get it. They're like our old grandparents who have millionaires.
Just crazy capitalists, right? And they're also like, we happen to be there during the golden age, during the one time in history when we had this post-war boom of money and everybody could have a job for 30 years and then retire. Why don't you guys just do that?
Right.
And it's like, wait, grandma, that's not what the deal is. It's like, well, you always have new shoes on.
You know, why don't you just work hard and save money, and eventually you'll be able to buy a $5 million house in Los Angeles while it's catching on fire.
did you see, speaking of the pipeline stuff, did you see that the villain of one of the like main threads of the Coachella was an environmental attorney? This guy, Jeffrey Clark. He's like he was the assistant attorney general, and like came in and was basically like, hey man, like I'm going to do the thing where I ask people to send different electors if you just make me attorney general. And it was like a 3-hour long meeting, but it's just so wild that he's by trade an environmental attorney. Let's can't even get that right.
Yeah. I mean, again, like I'm bringing up Nixon a lot, but like, you know, Nixon is to the left of like most Democrats at this point, you know, and he was like more of an environmentalist than all of these people. I think things have just shifted so far to the right since Reagan that they're not going back. They fucked us so bad, and they deassembled all the, you know, if they had had if they had had an ounce of like doing what they should do, you know, Biden ran on like this New Deal kind of thing, hasn't done anything. So they just don't care. I have to think that they just don't care.
Yeah.
I think there are people that do, and they don't realize how out of their depth they are. They really like, cause like when you read about the frustrations in the White House, it really is. It's the elderly trying to figure out why young people don't like them. And they
and being like it's ageist if you don't like, you know, Nancy Pelosi. And it's like, well, it's not ageist to think that it's actually super fucked up to think people should work until they die. Especially if you're a public servant, like, of course you can like make art until you die. But like, should you be in office until you die? Probably not. I think these are also difficult conversations to have that people don't want to have, especially because we're going to have like a huge elderly population soon of boomers. Just like, we're so fucked.
Yeah.
We are so fucked. And the people making the decisions are all going to die soon. Yeah. Like Dianne Feinstein.
I guess that's what I'm like talking about. Like, that's where my like small grain of hope and probably, you know, naivete.
But that was also like where I lost my mind with the RBG stuff, where it was just like, it's not feminist to fucking stay in off, you know, to do it, to refuse to give over power to the younger generation, to a younger woman who might be able to like protect fucking abortion rights.
If you could just check the chat, I did send you a video of her doing push-ups though, so I think we're actually clear on that.
But it's just like, as like a leftist, I don't know, I've also maybe just like given up on the idea of feminism because I've seen just women be manipulated against each other in these insane, you know, like all the just the Bernie and Liz Warren stuff made me feel so fucking insane that I was like, you know what, I'm giving up.
I think
the only hope that I see is that a plurality of people, because their living situation becomes so like fucked up, that they begin to either interact more like and get more involved, or at the very least like lose these like weird partisan allegiances to be like, and I'm a Democrat and I do this, and like phase to more of like an understanding of like, we like people in this country deserve better. It's not being delivered, and that's where it has to go. And I think the amount of organizing with unions, I think, underlines too that you're seeing like plenty of people are reaching that breaking point.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm like, the only thing I'm like, well, where's this going to break? That's the thing that I look out for that keeps me not fully, you know, in the, with a cloud.
I think it's just like there's two set, right? You can get really blackpilled, and I don't believe in that either. I think you have to like, I just think it's like you're either on poor people's side or you're not. And the Democrats clearly don't give a fuck about poor people in this country. And, you know, we see that in LA too, with like the way alleged Democrats treat the homeless. It's just like, you know, you're fascists.
Right. Straight up.
So yeah, to me, that's like, that's all it is. It's like, yeah, do you care? Are you know, the American mindset of just like, I'll get mine is fucking toxic. And we saw it during COVID that was all they did, was be like,
everybody
just do your own thing. But also, yeah, when they gave us unemployment and gave us 5 seconds off, then people did organize and people did
right,
protest.
They're like, fuck
and
these conditions.
Like,
fuck.
Yeah, yeah. And then they were like, never again. Because they saw that people could, you know, spray paint ACAB on the Beverly Center, which was my favorite
high
moment.
Art of 2020. I think, you know, like with all those things combining, right? And this is like the one thing you hear repeated over and over from like the like operative political consultant set, is that all the billionaire clients are really worried that a real conversation shifts to, well, who has our money and how is it like that? Because everything they do is to keep the conversation away from like their hyper wealth. And I think as people become slightly less shackled to the idea of like how our political system works, and understanding that like we live in this like casino where people with huge fucking amounts of money can do whatever the fuck they want and sort of enact the kinds of things that they want to, that we begin to sort of shift that conversation. It's definitely not going to happen in the mainstream media, because that's completely paid for by the people who are paying them to not talk about them them or make them the source of their ills. Like, you're not going to hear conversations around inflation with a huge emphasis on corporate profits. That happens maybe once every 4 days, and it's one person who comes on with like long hair, like some dude with glasses, long hair. They're like, yeah. Thanks,
it's
granola
Trump's
man.
Doctor who like gave him the clean bill of
health. Dr. Ronnie. Yeah, like whatever. But that's like, you know, and I think that's where people are slowly like, you see that thaw a little bit. And I think, again, that's where I'm like, fuck, maybe that's, as long as we can kind of keep more people moving in that direction, then maybe we can figure something out. But
I do think people are also seeing, it's like, if you pay attention to what's happening rather than what people are saying, you pretty much start to pick up on that. And again, I think this is all Reagan's fault. I blame Ronald Reagan for fucking everything. But yeah, they got rid of all the social services. They took all the safety nets out of American life, and it broke America. And so,
right. Yeah. And then they blamed all the resulting destruction on the left somehow.
Yeah. It's because we lit a cop car on fire one time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because they've made civility. They've made the empathy and the acknowledgement of people's humanity, like, that is on, like, the left. They've weaponized that to say, they're these freaks who just want to give everything away to everyone. And I think what really, like, the messaging is, it's just that all people deserve a base level of,
right?
of fucking care and support. That's what it is. We just need to, like, the next thing that we have to establish as a people in this country, if ever possible, is to collectively understand, okay, this is the bare minimum that people
right. Well, that's here. The thing. It's like that no handouts mindset, you know, is the problem, because, right, it's like we need public housing for unhoused people, but the people who hate homeless people also don't think homeless people should get free housing of any kind. But instead, like, there was this thing yesterday that Alyssa Walker posted about how, like, they put these fucking rocks all over the freeway margin things that are, like, the last place homeless people can live.
Right.
And they, like, implemented this, like, overnight, basically. They put all these rocks all over the city so that homeless people can't camp. And it's like, yeah, what if you took the money and fucking effort you spend on making it illegal for homeless people to be anywhere and just fucking built public housing?
Right.
Like, the solutions, the workarounds are A, like, completely fascist and evil, but B, like, they just don't even make any fucking sense.
Yeah, there's no, well, because I think that, again, we look at this every time, right? The solution is so clear every time, but it involves rich people making less money. So the conversation fucking ends there. You say, well, guns, fucking no, don't fucking make them anymore. Well, then right. they got to stop their business. Okay, yeah. What about fucking healthcare? Can we get some free? Well, then they got to stop their business or make less money. Okay, what about fucking climate change? Well, they got to make less money off of gas. Okay, fuck it. What about policing? Well, they got to, then they're going to make less money in their salaries, and the military industrial complex is also affected there. So no, we can't talk about any of these. What about right. building more things? Nah, what if we drop a bunch of rocks on motherfuckers? Like, what? And that's like the absurdity I feel like people need to really understand is, like, logically, we can, most people could be like, why don't you just build some houses? Why don't you take guns away? Why don't you da 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 da? And realize that there is such a huge, the impediment are the members of Congress who are paid by these industries to never facilitate a conversation that leads to them making less money.
Yeah, that's right. And, but I so my only hope is that Obi-Wan, more people are, my only hope, Obi-Wan coming through out of hiding where he had kept his same name. No, my only hope is that it just seems like more people are aware of this than ever before. There, no mainstream media is talking about it, but there are, like, places for them to communicate with one another. It's just, like, something, I don't know, there seems like there is more energy than is being acknowledged. And in fact, the lack of acknowledgement for the energy on the left is probably part of the plan or part of the 100%. Strategy.
I mean, they definitely didn't cover the, like, the LA election, which kind of went well for the leftist candidates.
Right. They just covered the San Francisco recall.
Like, yeah. But, you know, again, just like being offline and being in real life with other people who've been organizing also just makes you be like, oh, yeah, like, the world isn't horrible.
Yeah.
You just got to be off the internet.
Right.
Yeah. Because I honestly, like you said, you'll read one thing and then you read so many different opinions on one thing and it does do your head. You're like, what the fuck?
And part of it is just that the internet will make you feel bad. That is its purpose.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's free because you're the product. And,
right.
you know, keeping you engaged with, like, doom scrolling is how they're making money just, off
I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Right now, if you're listening, Google a mutual aid group in your city. And meet those people.
Yeah, just definitely. Go, I think
go meet people who offline. Are also humans too. Like, that will be very it will bring you life to know that, like, oh shit, okay, good, there's other people.
No, get involved with, like, other human beings. You know, there's a lot of great community fridge programs right now in LA that popped up during the pandemic. But yeah, I mean, again, it's like, it's not all bad. Sorry to be so.
No, I get it, but that's what it is. That's, I think that's what we feel in this country, right? Like, we're watching our neighbors die.
It's so extreme. I think that's the thing, is it's so extreme. And it is, yeah, it is more like Chile than people in America in mainstream media would like to acknowledge, in that
Right. There's
a lot of fascism, and also there is a lot of energy on the left and desire to overthrow all the bullshit. And them telling us that can't happen is part of how they keep everyone in their place, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Quick story about another way they're keeping us in our place, which is a new reality show that's going to break records.
Oh, God. Is this the Squid Game? The real life Squid Game?
Yeah. Going to keep 456 of us in one place.
The dystopia.
Yeah.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies, so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
And we're back. And so a Squid Game for a season 2. That was news that you might have caught a couple days back. But even more news. Netflix very focused on the bottom line, on how Wall Street is looking at them. And they wanted another Squid Game headline, probably, presumably. And so they came up, got put their heads together in a boardroom, and were like, what if Squid Game was real? Okay. And like one of them died because their head exploded. And but yeah, so Netflix has greenlit Squid Game The Challenge, a reality competition series based on the hit 2021 South Korean drama. If you watched it, you might remember that the hit 2021 South Korean drama was a social commentary on, you know, a world in which people are so desperate for money that they will kill and be killed in order to like win a chance at a single pot of money. And it was like, this is really depressing, and like what it's come to. Netflix was like, yeah, more on that later. Shut the fuck up. What if we were like the rich guys in that room?
And they are.
Yeah, apparently.
Do we know how it works? Like, it's just going to be backstabbery gone wild. I feel like that's the only way you do it, because people aren't going to die, obviously. Well, are
yeah,
they?
They're gonna...
Are we here? Have we finally there got here?
It's 456 players competing for $4.56 million, which is a reality television record for in terms of prize money.
What about, is that adjusted for inflation?
I'm sure that, I don't know, but yeah, that's true.
Like, it's actually like, the third biggest.
It's actually less than the original Who Wants to Be a Millionaire prize. But I'm sure there will be like children's games where people are like trying to.
Oh, right. Like playing jacks.
Know, yeah. But just without the death, I'm assuming. But it's.
There has to be like some level of like spills and like wipe out. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of need to see people get wrecked, like in a non life threatening way.
Right.
If we're really going to go all in on that. But
that's, I mean. Look, I'm just pitching myself. I'm putting myself out there, Netflix. If you need somebody to play one of the rich American guys who's in the thing and being like, I love this game. Bring me more champagne. As you've heard already, my nickname is Anti-Union Jack. I have a logo, which is the Union Jack.
Did you get that was a joke? That was a joke about the Union Jack.
Yeah, no, I loved it. And I'm running with it.
You were front and center at the Queen's Jubilee.
I was with a Union Jack with the Ghostbusters X over it, and people didn't appreciate it, even though I'm here for the Platinum Jubes.
Oh, I think my power came back. There we go. I think I made somebody happy. What games do you think?
That was the Queen blessing you from heaven.
Yeah.
Yes. And we're back.
And we're back. And the Queen has been daved. For those who don't remember that Kevin Klein film directed by Ivan Reitman, where a man daved. Played the president who was actually, I think, in a coma.
Yeah.
The Queen has been daved.
I love turning Dave into a verb.
A verb?
I love,
yeah.
Molly, you've been turning fuckingest, like dudes wanting to be the fuckingest dude, I think.
Oh, yeah. Something.
I love that turn of phrase.
I use it a lot when I'm watching my favorite television show, The Offer, about the making of The Godfather.
Right.
Which there's a guy named Al Reddy who's the producer, and he's the fuckingest guy on that show, which means Robert Evans is kind of like a beta cuck to him on the show.
Right.
But it's produced by the guy.
Because produced by Al Reddy. So he can't be outfucked by Robert Evans.
Right. His own show.
No.
What if the kid didn't stay in the picture?
That's right. What if the kid
got the fuck out of it, actually?
Kind of a dork, actually. I mean,
What if the kid's a fucking loser, really?
I mean,
if you
that's
think
what's
about
funny.
It.
It's like, it's sort of, maybe it's like accidentally accurate by portraying Robert Evans as kind of a dork, which he for sure was.
Right. And for people, that's a film producer, not the podcaster.
Not the podcaster, although he plays the producer on my show.
Yeah, which is apropos. I would say, like, okay, but back to the Squid Games thing. Do you think they will do some of, like, will they do the...
Yes.
And, like, sure. But it's, like, paintballs and shit?
Yeah. Probably paintballs. Maybe it'll just be, like, a, like, laser dot or something where they're just, like, counted out. Presumably they won't be
arrows.
Like, yeah, presumably they won't be shot. I think they will definitely sleep in the giant barracks.
Oh, yeah, because it's
like
a reality show.
Yeah, it's a reality show. I think tug of war will be heavily involved. And they will probably, to your point, like the way that like reality show competitions seem to be going is like using special effects to make it seem as though the loser has been killed. Like, isn't that a thing right. that happens on that one show where they're like, you got the answer wrong and then you just like disappear down a dark hole? Yeah.
Right, right, right. Oh, I feel like wasn't in the floor is lava? Like if you fell on the floor, like they kind of pretended it was actually lava.
That was a Netflix innovation too, is that you would fall in the lava and then like they would cut out the part where you came where you popped back out and you would just like swim off camera, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're already there. They're already like, so people want to believe that these desperate people who are, you know, just debasing themselves to compete for this big sum of money are actually dying in the process. Like that was their takeaway from.
Do you think they'll produce it to the point like, cause they're, you know, I'm sure like the first game will like probably get rid of 80% of the cast.
Right.
Because it's like, there's no way you can facilitate fucking that many people.
It's bad storytelling. Yeah.
Yeah. But then they set it up. So like there are dudes who like went to high school together, but never talked to each other. And they're like, whoa, Brett, you're here. I thought you were doing well. He's like, I had way too much money in crypto, man. I'm back to square one. I'm here at the Squid Game like you.
But Brett, you're my financial advisor. Yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, about man. That.
You're fucked.
You're upside down on a bunch of ether, man.
Yeah. Squid Game, hit us up. We can write the desperate people storylines for you. We're not
ripped
proud.
From the headlines.
All right. Well, this is going to be an ongoing story. We will keep you up to date. Oh, Molly, it has been, as always, a true pleasure having you on TVZ. Yeah. Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
You can find me on Twitter at Molly Lambert and on Instagram at Molly_Lambert. And that's it. And check out Heidi World, the Heidi Feist story and the secret history of LA, now fully out on all podcast platforms forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Forever.
And Jack and Miles are both in it.
Amazing.
And it's a storied group of people lending their voices, and I'm honored to be one of the lowly names on that list.
Yeah. Well, Miles plays James Caan, so
you did give me the option to pick one. I said Sonny was one of my favorite characters in The Godfather.
It was perfect. So it had to be Jimmy Caan. So happy.
Jimmy Caan. Who has been mentioned as potentially, you know, involved in that stuff, which was a revelation to me before, you know, I didn't know. Jimmy Caan was involved.
You could tell from Scott Caan's cockiness what was going on in that house.
Is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
And I already talked about the red pandas at length, which is definitely the number one thing that I enjoy.
There you go.
Oh, give him that handle one more time.
It is Red Panda Every Hour at Red Panda Every HR, abbreviated hour. But I don't know. I enjoyed everybody's jokes about the Lady Gaga, Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie yesterday also.
Yeah. We talked about that on the Trends episode yesterday. So
future.
I like the jokes. My favorite was the one that was a still of Lady Gaga from House of Gucci. And it just said, we live in a society in Italian. Che viviamo una societia. That was my fave.
I love it.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also check out the basketball podcast. Miles and Jack got mad boosties. And if you like 90 Day Fiancé, check me out on 420 Day Fiancé. Let's see. Some tweets that I like. Oh, it's from Sarah Haji, at Kinda Haji, H-A-G-I, tweeted, guys, I feel so sick with this revelation that Top Gun is military propaganda. I thought this was all made up. I didn't know these planes existed IRL. This is so stupid, but I love the takes of everybody now being like, it's propaganda. Yeah, it's Top
Gun. You mean me? Miles, talking shit, bro.
No, you said you love it.
I did love it.
We love a good piece of propaganda.
Yeah, it's good. Propaganda can be good too. It's just very damaging. Let's see. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. A tweet I've been enjoying from Tom Hanks is Innocent tweeted, Jurassic Park movies are unrealistic because none of the white people in them try to kiss dinosaurs on the mouth. And that's, I think, an accurate observation. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Oh, man. This is a song which also I just want to really direct people towards the music video too. It's a new Pharrell track with Tyler, the Creator, and 21 Savage. It's called Cash In, Cash Out. And it's the video that's really dope. The beat is dope because it sounds like if the Neptunes like just remembered who they are. I don't know if Chad Hugo actually helped produce this. It might just be Pharrell. But the video is really dope. They like 3D printed little miniatures of themselves because they shot this during the pandemic and they tried to find a way to do a music video without being together. And these French animators created like a 3D printed Zoetrope machine to animate the video and use like CGI to put it all together. And it's kind of fucking wild. So this is, you know, check out Cash In, Cash Out, Pharrell, Tyler, 21.
All right. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. But we're back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye. Bing.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.